Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Auf Grab genommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Take a look at the files of Rex Saunders and get a glimpse of his thrilling world of intrigue and mystery. Today's episode, the 1951 series, The Private Files of Rex Saunders. Now, this series is one of the few that actually have a surviving audition tape. What those are episodes that usually don't have a sponsor and sometimes even have mistakes or ad-libs that are left in. So listen closely and see if you can find any. If you enjoy this episode, I have a lot more detectives in the archives. And please let me know what you think of the podcast or this episode. You can let me know through the comments on Spotify, my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my Twitter, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, Instagram, mysteryfrequency, or easier still, you can click the links in the description. And if you're having a good time listening to this podcast, then please consider following, reviewing, and rating. Those all help out big time for the podcast. And a big thank you to all those who already have. So with all that, please enjoy.
Rex Harrison stars in another intriguing adventure from The Private Files.
Don't. It's a little too fast.
All right.
Rex Harrison stars in another intriguing adventure from The Private Files of Rex Saunders.
Concerning gambling. A roulette wheel has no conscience, so you're bound to pick an unlucky number when you play the game with death.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you Rex Harrison, brilliant star of stage and screen, in the newest and most exciting detective adventures taken from The Private Files of Rex Saunders.
It all started on the gambling ship riding at anchor beyond the 3-mile limit. The speedboat slows down and then glides gently in alongside the gambling ship. The swarthy man gets out, mounts the swaying steps to the gaily lit deck, and makes his way through the crowd, briskly acknowledging a greeting here and there. He continues along the deck, past the series of gaming rooms, and then stops before a door marked Tony Marco, Private.
Hello, Tony.
Look, Vera, I told you I didn't want to be disturbed tonight. I told you I was going to be busy in town.
Yeah, Tony, I know about your important business in town.
Oh, so that's it. That's why you dragged me out here.
No way.
Vera, how many times do I have to tell you? You and me are only partners on this quick money scow. That's where the partnership ends.
Okay, Tony. Just wanted to let you know that he's back again.
Who's back again?
That stepbrother of hers, Jerry Connell.
What?
And losing heavy.
Where is he?
Inside at the roulette table. I tried to get him to leave, but he started to make trouble. I thought you'd want to handle it yourself. That's why I sent for you.
Okay, I'll handle it.
All right, ladies.
fence.
There he is, Tony, at the end of the table.
Make your
bets. I see him. You stay here.
Make your bets.
Hello, Jerry.
It's Mr. Connell to you, Marco.
I asked you to stay off
all
this
right,
boat.
Close.
Something wrong with my money, Marco?
All bets closed.
Rocky.
Yeah, Mr. Marco.
Hold that wheel a minute. Pick up your bet, Jerry. Pick it up and get out of here.
Afraid I might get back some of my losses, Marco?
How much did you go for so far?
$1,500. Why?
You'll get it back from the cashier.
Not on your life, Marco. I'm not taking back that money. You're not dealing with my sister now. I'm one, Connell, with a little pride left. No cheap tinhorn gambler can buy me off the way you buy her off.
Jerry, I don't like the way you talk about Helen.
Well, you are buying her off with your lousy money.
You're going to remember never to talk like that about Helen. Okay, Rocky, pick him up and get him back to shore.
Never mind. Now, I'll give you something to remember, Marco. I'd rather see Helen dead than married to you. Or even better than that, I'd rather see you dead, Marco.
I checked our baggage through Chicago, Rex.
All right, Alec, let's get aboard.
Steve, darling.
Hmm?
Oh, I thought I'd never get here in time.
But,
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Believe me, young lady, so am I. Sorry not to be Steve, whoever he may be.
Oh, please forgive me. I thought you were a friend. You look so much like Steve. You're dressed the same way, too. How stupid of me to come up and throw my arms around a perfect stranger.
Well, it's the one way of making strangers friends.
Mr. Saunders, our train...
You will forgive me, won't you?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, Alec, that was a pleasant send-off for our trip.
Rex.
Yeah?
That girl. She's disappeared into the crowd.
Yeah, she's... rather hurriedly.
Well, no wonder. Your briefcase, it's gone. She took it.
I know she did.
What? And you let her walk off just like that?
Alec, get our baggage off the train. We're postponing our trip to Chicago. I'm going to scout around the station. Meet me at the information booth in 15 minutes.
Well, all right.
And in the meanwhile, you'd better hold on to the collateral the young lady left in return for my briefcase.
What are you talking about?
During our embrace, she slipped this pistol into my top coat pocket.
Did you find her?
No. I've been waiting here at the information booth for 10 minutes. What took you so long?
Well, I don't know how to explain it to you. At first, I thought it was just lost. But now I think I know how it happened. I'm sure of it.
How what happened? What are you...
I was getting our baggage off the train, and a man bumped into me. It was done purposely.
Alec, what the deuce are you talking about?
That pistol you gave me to hold. It's missing. I had a feeling earlier this evening that something would happen to prevent us from going on that trip.
Hmm.
These things always happen to us.
Well, it's only a temporary delay until we find out what this pistol hide-and-seek business is going... It's only a temporary delay until we find out what this pistol hide-and-seek game's about. First, I'm particularly interested in locating the mysterious young lady.
Well, what I don't understand is why she should steal your briefcase. There was nothing of value in it.
Well, apparently there was, Alec.
But what?
Turn at the next corner.
I thought we were taking our baggage home.
We are, eventually. Right now, there's a car behind us, that black sedan.
What's so unusual about that?
It's been following us ever since we left the railroad station garage.
Oh, perhaps it's just a coincidence.
We'll soon find out. All right, turn now.
Hey, you were right. It's still behind us. We are being followed. Wonder why?
Well, we'll soon find that out, too. The next corner, put out your hand to signal for a right turn and then quickly swerve left to a short stop.
I get it. Block the street.
That's it. And you better hold tight. There might be a minor collision. Now, we're coming to the corner. Get set.
I'm ready. Here we go.
Let's go. All right. You can come out of that car. Well.
Why, it's that girl.
Well, young lady, you're still looking for your friend Steve?
No. There isn't any Steve.
No, I didn't think there was.
Now, why did you steal that briefcase and where is it?
It's in the car. I was going to return it to Mr. Saunders.
Well, Alex, she knows who I am. That puts another one up on us.
I can explain everything, Mr. Saunders. I took that briefcase to stop you from going to Chicago. I had to do something to stop you from leaving town.
Why?
Well, I want your help. I called your apartment this afternoon. I was told that you were leaving for Chicago tonight. My name is Helen Connell.
Connell?
Well, Alec?
That's right. Miss Connell did call. I told her you weren't taking any cases.
Mr. Saunders, I need your help desperately.
So you tried a desperate trick?
Well, wouldn't you, to save a man's life?
Who's the man?
My stepbrother, Jerry. I've got to find him before he's murdered.
And just why is Jerry's life in danger?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell me anything. He just left the house after what happened last night. I haven't been able to find him anywhere.
You mentioned last night. What happened last night?
Well, as he was coming into the house, someone shot at him. Luckily, the bullet only grazed his arm.
Well, then, we might find out what it's all about if we can track down the gun that fired the bullet.
Oh, I found it.
Where?
In the bushes outside our house. That was the gun I slipped into your pocket back at the railroad station.
I'm sorry, Miss Connell. Nothing to report yet. No trace of your brother so far.
Yes, but I know where Jerry is.
What?
He just called me a moment ago.
He's all right?
I don't know. He cut the conversation short. He said he was being watched. Someone was outside the building.
Did he say where he was calling from?
Yes, he did. He's in a rooming house down at the waterfront. 622 Grant Street.
622 Grant Street.
Second floor in the rear. I told him that I was sending you down.
All right, Miss Connell. We'll have Jerry home in an hour.
Down the steps, Connell. To the boat.
Where are you taking me, Rocky?
For a boat ride.
Out to Marco's ship?
Maybe.
Marco's wasting his time. I've got something to say to him. None of his tricks are going to work.
Get into the boat. Okay. You're steering. Go ahead, start it up. Connell, maybe you're in for a little surprise.
What do you mean?
You're in my hands, and I got a little trick that I think is going to work. Yeah, I think it's going to work good. All right, shove off.
I spoke to the landlady, Rex.
What did she say?
A man rented this room last night. He said his name was Jerry Connell. But the landlady's description of him doesn't fit the one Helen Connell gave us.
I see.
Now, why should someone pose as Connell?
I don't know. Did the landlady see him go out tonight?
No. Did you find anything here?
Just these.
What are they?
Gambling chips.
Not much to go on, huh?
You know, I don't know about that, Alec. These chips are just out of place enough to excite my interest.
What do you mean?
They're marked SS Lucky.
SS Lucky? Well, that's the gambling ship that's operating out beyond the 3-mile limit.
That's right. Tony Marco's gambling ship. We're going out to Marco's ship tonight.
To try our luck?
Yes, Alec. And to try our luck at preventing a murder.
Let me stop that. Do that. Give me the cue again. And do it again from the top of the page. Do it from the top of the page, please. SS Lucky. Quiet.
Where?
Top of 12.
Huh. SS Lucky. Well, that's the gambling ship that's operating out beyond the 3-mile limit.
That's right. Tony Marco's gambling ship. We're going out to Marco's ship tonight.
To try our luck?
Yes, Alec, to try our luck at preventing a murder.
cut the motor.
Well,
I said cut the motor. We're stopping here.
What are we doing here? Rocky, you said you were taking me to Marco's ship.
You said so. I didn't. You guessed wrong.
Now, what is this?
This is where you get off.
What?
This is where you go for a swim. All right, over the side.
Rocky, no
way. I said over the side.
Rocky, listen to me, please. Take me to Marco. I want to talk to him.
Don't you remember, Jerry? You said you got nothing to say to Marco.
He can marry my sister, Helen. I won't say a word. I won't open my mouth. I'll give him my word, only don't do this. Please, Rocky, listen to me.
I said get into the water.
But I won't have a chance.
Sure you got a chance. At life, boy. You can hear the bell. It's only about 100 yards off. All you have to do is swim to that boy.
I can't swim, Rocky.
Yeah, that's what I hear. You can't swim. It's too bad. Now get over the side.
Rocky, don't push me.
Get
please,
over
for heaven's
sake.
Rocky! Help me! Don't! Rocky! Help! Help!
Hello, Saunders.
Hello, Marco.
I heard you were aboard.
I had an idea that bit of news would travel to you fast.
What's the visit for?
Oh, just looking around.
You expect me to believe that?
No. I really came out, Marco, to return some stray property of yours.
Oh, like what?
These gambling chips.
You cash them in at the window.
Well, I wasn't thinking of these chips in the terms of surrender value.
Well, that's all they're good for, Saunders. Just money.
No, I don't know, Marco. These particular chips have an extra value. I found them in a rooming house in Grant Street.
Well, sometimes the customers keep them as souvenirs.
I see. Well, the particular customer I'm thinking of was Jerry Connell. There's been an attempt made on his life. There may be others.
So what are you telling me for?
Somebody aboard this evening indicated that you and Connell had rather bitter words the other night.
Oh, that. That didn't amount to anything. The kid's hot-headed, that's all.
I also understand that you and Jerry's stepsister, Helen, are friendly.
Okay, Saunders, what are you driving at?
Jerry would do anything in his power to break up the match. And from what I understand, you'd do anything in your power to keep it from being broken.
That's right, I would.
Well, Marco, that's another reason why I dropped around. Just to tell you that it would put you in a difficult position. I'll start that again. Well, Marco, that's another reason why I dropped around. Just to tell you that it would put you in a difficult position if anything should happen to Jerry Connell. So you understand, in a way, it's now up to you to see that nothing does happen to Jerry.
Tony. I just saw the paper. That Connell kid's body was washed up on the waterfront this morning.
Yeah, Vera, I know.
I told you that dame would get you into a jam.
Huh? What are you talking about?
That Connell kid's murder. Paper said it was a drowning. But you know it was murder, Tony.
What do you mean, I know it was a murder? Where do you get that stuff from?
Even if you didn't do it.
Even if I didn't do it?
They'd pin it on you anyway. That's why Saunders was out here the other night. They're wise to you, Tony.
Shut up. What's wrong with you talking that way?
Tony, listen to me. My name is Vera, not some tricky snob from uptown. I'm with you like I've always been with you. If we can get away from here, maybe you can beat this. We can get to South America. We got this boat. We'll do all right, Tony, you and me. Be just like it used to be. Like it was before that cheap money-grabbing dame pulled you in by the ears.
Talking about a lady that way, talking about Helen that way. Me go away with you, why I wouldn't be seen dead with you. Now get out of here.
All right, Tony. But you're going to be sorry you didn't listen to me. You're going to be very sorry.
We're awfully sorry, Miss Connell.
You and Mr. Saunders did everything you possibly could.
We might have quite a job proving that Jerry's death was not an accident, but we're determined to see it through.
Doesn't matter now, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, it does. It matters very much. We're going to bring the murderer to justice.
And by that, Mr. Saunders means Tony Marco and whatever henchman of his did the actual killing.
Oh, but Tony wouldn't do a thing like that. I know he wouldn't.
You better get that, Alec.
Oh, thank you.
Hello? Oh, yes, he is. Just a moment, please. It's for you, Rex, a woman.
Hello? Yes, this is Rex Saunders. I certainly would. Pier 65. A blue Nash sedan. I'll be there. Yes, at 9 promptly. Well, Miss Connell, we may be nearer to a solution than I'd thought. That was Vera Peters on the phone.
Tony's partner?
Yes.
What did she say?
Alec, we're meeting Miss Peters at the waterfront. She said she has information which will lead to Jerry's murderer tonight. Blue Nash sedan. There it is. Over near the pier light. Let's go. It's just 9. We're in time for our appointment.
Have you thought that this might be some sort of an ambush? After all, Miss Peters is Marco's partner.
I thought just that, Alec. You've noticed the auto that's just pulled up behind ours. It's a police car.
Oh.
We'll be well covered. And remember, I'll do the talking. You just keep your eyes open. Miss Peters, Miss Peters?
What's the matter with her?
She's been stabbed. Miss Peters is dead.
We're too late again.
Yes, Alec. It seems as if the murderer made a previous appointment with... Yes, Alec, it seems as if the murderer made a previous appointment with Miss Peters. Wait a minute.
What is it?
This lip rouge on the windshield. She was trying to write something.
I can make out... R-O-C. That last letter.
Notice the way the line starts to curve down there. That's unmistakable. It's the letter K.
R-O-C-K.
Rock. That was part of Miss Peters' message to us.
Rock? What could it possibly mean?
I'm sure Tony Marco can supply me with the answer to that question, and many others he didn't respond to on my last visit to his ship. I'm going out there again tonight. Only this time, Alec, I'm coming back with the answers. And Tony Marco.
Saunders, you're just wasting your breath with those questions.
And, Marco, you have no idea what the word rock could possibly mean?
That's what I told you. It don't mean anything to me. Oh, I know what you think, but you've got me wrong.
Yes?
Gambling's my business, not killing. I'm just as anxious to have Vera's killer nabbed as you are.
I see. But what about Jerry Connell's murderer?
Well, that one, too, for Helen's sake. I didn't like Connell, I admit it. I hated his guts, but I didn't kill him.
I didn't say you did.
It's upset Helen real bad, and that's what gets under my skin, seeing Helen that way.
Frankly, Marco, I don't understand your concern for Helen Connell. And I understand much less her concern for you.
Okay. Maybe then you understand this. No one was supposed to know about it, but I'm telling you just for the record. Helen and I were married 2 months ago.
Watch your step, folks. Watch your step going up.
Oh, Rocky.
Yeah, Mr. Marco.
Take Mr. Saunders here back to shore right away. Don't wait to load up.
Sure, Mr. Marco. Hop in, mister.
Thanks.
Well, special express for you, huh?
So it seems. I believe I heard the other gentleman call you Rocky.
Rocky's my name.
Which reminds me of something.
Yeah? What?
Handwriting on an auto windshield. Dying woman's message.
Is that so? What does this remind you of?
That gun?
Yeah.
That reminds me strongly of two murders. Quite a coincidence we should meet this way.
No, it isn't. I was waiting for you, Saunders. Just waiting for the right time.
And I presume this is it.
This is it. Here's where you get off, Saunders.
Then this is how it happened to Jerry Connell.
Yeah, you're getting the same break.
But I can swim, Rocky, and the gambling ship isn't far off. I might make it. Aren't you being a little careless in your rush to get rid of me?
How far do you think you'll get, Saunders? How far after I plow into you with this boat?
I'd rather not answer that question.
Okay, then suppose you get started. Go on, get over the side. I got a report to make on this.
Hello?
Miss Connell. Rocky.
Well?
I met up with Saunders tonight. I had him up in the boat. Like Jerry.
Is he finished?
Yeah, it's all finished.
Good. Marco will get the blame for that one, too. That will clinch it, Rocky.
Miss Connell.
Yes?
The deal's closed, right?
That's right.
So I'm coming up for the payoff.
All right, Rocky. Come on up. I'll be waiting. Tony.
Hello, Helen.
Tony, what are you doing here this time of night?
Oh, I just thought I'd stop in for a talk.
Oh, darling, it's awfully late. Tomorrow, huh? I'll see you tomorrow.
No, Helen. Tonight. We're having that talk tonight.
Tony, please go, because you can't come in. Look, I'll explain everything tomorrow.
You're through explaining things, Helen. You're all through.
What are you talking?
You're finished. You're washed up. I know your game. I know you were dealing to me from the bottom of the deck.
Tony, what is the matter
you
with you?
You rotten little killer. You had it done to Vera, and you had it done to your stepbrother.
Well, you're crazy.
You did.
You don't know what you're saying.
You were setting me up for a murder rap so you could cash in on me.
How can you say things like that? Where did you get such ideas from?
You got them from me.
Mr. Saunders.
And they're not just ideas. They're the facts. The facts Rocky included in his confession.
But I thought... Rocky said that you were dead.
And they're not just ideas.
And they're not just ideas. They're the facts. The facts Rocky included in his confession.
But I thought Rocky said that you were dead.
I would be if it hadn't been for Alec and a police patrol boat standing off the gambling ship. Alec?
Yes, Rex?
You can take her down to headquarters now.
It'll be a pleasure.
Oh, and by the way, Miss Connell, the shock you received at seeing me alive is nothing compared to the shock the state has in store for you.
Join us next week at this same time when Rex Harrison, brilliant star of stage and screen, brings you another intriguing adventure taken from The Private Files of Rex Saunders. Next week, it's concerning blackmail.
Concerning blackmail. A dangerous game which pays off in either high dividends or shallow graves.
Private Files of Rex Saunders is written by Ed Adamson. In the cast were Leon Janney as Alec and Alice Frost as Vera. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Give me the cue again.
Leon.
Leon.
Leon. Now hold it.
Quiet, please.
The Private Files of Rex Saunders is written by Ed Adamson. In the cast were Leon Janney as Alec and Alice Frost as Vera. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Concerning art, the value of a portrait does not always depend upon the artist. There's the model to be considered, especially when the model turns out to be a shocking still life.
And now, the Private Files of Rex Saunders. Now for our story.
The portrait hung in the window of one of those little out-of-the-way art shops that help give Greenwich Village its bohemian air. I was about to move on, but something held me to the spot. There was a strange fascination about the girl in the painting. She was uncommonly beautiful, but there was the unmistakable mark of doom on her. It was in the eyes, two bottomless black pools.
You think she's beautiful, don't you?
I turned and saw her standing next to me. She'd come out of the shadows unnoticed. She was cheaply dressed, and her face was partially hidden by a scarf she held to it.
Everybody thinks she's beautiful. You do too, huh?
You mean that portrait?
I mean the portrait, her.
Well, to be frank, it isn't her beauty that interests me exactly. It's the look about her.
The look of death.
Yes, that's just what I was thinking.
The artist called the picture The Passing Over. He was thinking of death.
You seem to be familiar with the work.
Yes, familiar. I come here every day to look at it. I come after it gets dark. I don't go out in the daylight anymore. I sit in my room. I sit and wait for the dark to come. I'm like something dead.
Well, you really shouldn't keep yourself cooped up like that. You're much too young.
Young and attractive. That's what you were going to say, isn't it? Something like that?
Yes, something like that.
Well, look at me, mister. Take a good look.
She lowered the scarf from her face and moved into the light. Her face and the eyes down was etched with a mass of ugly purplish-red streaks which drew her features into weird contortions.
Acid doesn't do pretty things to a face, does it? It's like the ads, before and after. That was me before that girl in the picture. This is me now, after.
I looked at the picture again. Then I saw it. The eyes. They were the same. She was the girl in the portrait.
That's one of the reasons I come here every night. And there are other reasons, too.
Oh, now, look, young lady, you've obviously been in a terrible accident, but that's no
accident. This was no accident. He threw it in my face. He thought that would keep me quiet. But it won't. When the time comes, I'll talk. I'll tell about him. Then I'll pay for what he did to me, every last one of them.
I don't understand. What is this?
Nothing. Nothing. Forget it.
Well, maybe I can help. My name is Rex...
I don't care what your name is. I don't need any help. I told you to let me alone. Just let me alone.
She hurried down the dim-lit street. I waited a moment and then decided to follow her. She turned around and, seeing I was behind, quickened her pace. I quickened mine. Then she came to the corner. She turned again. She stepped off the curb. She didn't see the fast-moving auto coming towards her. Look out! The car stopped for a moment, then started up and disappeared into the darkness. I rushed to the corner. She was lying, face down in the gutter. She was dead. I did what had to be done. I made my report to homicide. And then Alec picked me up in the car.
Oh, where to, Rex?
4th Street, Alec, just off 6th.
Too bad she didn't hear your warning.
Yes, the car was almost on her by then.
What did you find out about her?
The police had a previous report. Her name was Betty Stark, an artist model. She was taken to Bellevue Hospital 6 months ago.
The acid burns on her face?
Yes, she was working for a painter named Philip Darcy at the time. Betty told the police that the accident occurred in Darcy's studio. She claimed that she was reaching for a bottle on the shelf and that the acid spilled over her.
But she told you someone threw it at her.
And I believe that to be the truth, Alec. It was no more an accident than her death was.
What? You mean she was murdered?
That's exactly what I mean. It was no hit-and-run accident. That car swerved in from the other side of the street and ran into her deliberately.
But what could the reason be?
That's what we're going to find out.
We might ask that artist, Philip Darcy, a question or two.
We might, but there's the simple matter of his being unavailable.
What do you mean by that?
Inspector Kelly at Homicide tells me that yesterday morning, Philip Darcy's body was found floating in the East River. The artist and the face-scarred model were both dead, murdered. There were no obvious motives. There was nothing to go on. But there was that strangely fascinating canvas which hung in the window of the village art shop.
Well, Rex, what do you expect to learn from a portrait?
Well, you can never tell. The shop's just down the block a bit. Here, right here. Come on.
Well, not a particularly impressive piece of art.
That's quite right, Alec. That portrait in the window there isn't nearly as impressive as the one which was in its place when I was here earlier.
Huh?
That's not the passing over.
It isn't Betty Stark's portrait?
No, it isn't. Wait here, Alec. I'm going inside.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
What is your pleasure?
Well, I had a portrait in mind.
A portrait?
Yes, sir. The portrait is called The Passing Over.
The Passing Over. I'm sorry, I've never heard of the painting.
Are you quite sure?
Quite sure.
That's rather odd. The portrait you're so ignorant of was hanging out there in your window less than 2 hours ago. It was replaced by the one that's hanging there now.
You're mistaken. You must have the wrong shop. That portrait in the window has been hanging there for more than a week.
I was sure the proprietor of the art shop had the answers to some of my questions, but I decided to wait for a more appropriate time to press them. I had Alec drive me around the block quickly, and we parked further along the street with the shop in good view. Then we waited. A few minutes later, the shop went dark, and the dealer came out with a large package, undoubtedly a wrapped painting, and got into a waiting cab. We followed the taxi through the narrow streets of downtown Manhattan. Then it turned south onto the East River Drive. And finally the cab pulled up in front of a deserted pier. There. He's getting out of the cab, Alec.
I wonder what he's up to down here.
Come along, Alec. Stay close to the wall here.
I don't like this. Heaven knows what sort of a mess this will get us into.
Heaven knows, Alec. Whatever it is, it can't be a...
Wait.
What is it?
He's climbing down that ladder alongside the wharf.
There must be a boat waiting for him.
No, I can make it out down there. There's no boat.
Well, then why does he...
Hurry, before we lose him.
He's disappeared into the water.
No, don't be silly. There's a ramp at the bottom of this ladder. It runs under the pier. Now, I'll go down first. Come on. Yeah.
Watch your step.
What now? We're going under the pier. And be careful. This ramp we're on is rather shaky. Ready?
Yeah, but most unwilling. It's awfully dark down here.
Yeah, but Alec, just watch your step and stay close behind me. Hold it, Alec.
What's wrong?
Look ahead.
It's a flashlight.
And there's another one.
Where?
Over there to the left, out towards the end of the pier.
They're both blinking on and off.
Signals.
Hey, hold it!
Rang out, we could see gun flashes spit from out towards the end of the pier. The flashlight nearest to us went out. Then we heard the engine of a boat start up and fade off up into the river.
You all right, Rex?
Yeah.
What's it all about? First the flashlight signals, then the shots.
I think I have a good idea what it's about. Come on, just up ahead a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are. This is your answer, Alec. Look at him.
The art dealer.
Those shots found their target, all right. Here's his flashlight. Now we'll be able to get a better picture of what things are down here.
Look, there's the package he was carrying.
I get it.
The artist, the model, and now this dealer. They were all murdered because of that picture.
No, Alec, not because of this picture.
Huh?
See for yourself.
Why, that's the Mona Lisa.
Yes, Alec. And a very cheap reproduction at that. While Alec went to notify homicide, I searched the murdered man's clothes. As I was looking through his wallet, I heard a creak in the ramp board behind me. I turned quickly, but not quickly enough.
Monsieur Saunders, I finished with your sleep, n'est-ce pas?
Yeah. I suppose my waking up will have its disadvantages in this case. I take it I owe my eclipse to you.
Oui, monsieur. To me. It was necessary at the moment. Forgive me. I did not know who you are. Monsieur Rex Saunders.
Well, you won't hold it against me,
You make the joke.
Very badly.
We are brothers, monsieur. I am Marcel Jouvet. French Sûreté.
Police?
Oui, monsieur. I see that for which you go to the dock this evening.
I was at that dock trying to track down a murderer. Frankly, I can't see where the French Sûreté fits in that.
You are correct, monsieur. I do not seek murderer. It is the painting I have come to this country for.
What, the passing over?
Oh, no. I do not know of such a painting. I have come here to find a Renoir.
Renoir?
Oui, Renoir. An early work of the master. It was stolen from the museum at Lyon.
And you traced it here to New York?
Finally, monsieur.
Would you mean to tell me that the Renoir was in that little art shop on 4th Street?
I believe it was there. I was thinking, monsieur.
Yes?
Perhaps we two, working together, could meet success.
Perhaps we could.
Then it is agreeable?
Very well, monsieur Jouvet. It is agreeable.
The entire story is just too crazy to swallow.
Yes, but it's true, Alec. Jouvet is convinced that all three deaths are tied in with the Renoir.
How do you feel about it?
Well, in the absence of anything concrete, I'll go along with Jouvet. Hello? Oh, yes, Jouvet. Where? 21 Front Street, Brooklyn. Yes, I have that. We'll be there in half an hour. All right, Juve. Goodbye. Alec, bring the car around front. I'll be right out after I make a call.
What's up?
We're going to a warehouse on the Brooklyn waterfront. Juve tells me he's sure we'll get results there tonight, but there's one thing I'm not so sure of.
What do you mean?
The man I spoke to just now on the phone, I'm not entirely sure it was Juve. I called Juve's hotel. The desk clerk had some surprising information for me. Marcel Juve had checked out a few hours previous. The man who called me to meet him could have been Juve, but there was that margin of doubt in my mind. There was one sure way of erasing that doubt. See what the Brooklyn warehouse had to offer.
Rex, at the risk of sounding monotonous, I don't like this. Juve moves out of his hotel without notifying you, and then you receive that strange call to come here.
Yes, but as I said, Alec, the caller could have been Juve.
There's something radically wrong when you're not sure of things.
Well, we'll be all right, don't worry. The warehouse is over here. He said it'd be unlocked.
Well, this place is empty.
Well, wait to go upstairs.
What's supposed to be up there?
Juve said the answer to all our questions.
You stand where you are. One move for me, the one of you get a back full of holes. Okay, now turn around. Slow.
He doesn't look a bit like Juve, does he, Alec?
Juve couldn't make it. He got a sudden call out of town.
In that case, I suppose we may as well leave.
Yeah, sure. You leave. My way.
That sounds unpleasant.
You won't feel it much. It goes fast. Did you ever see one of these? It's a thermite bomb. I just pull this plug out and the joint goes up in smoke in no time, and you two nosy characters go with it. Now turn back the way you were. Go ahead, do what I said. Okay. Now over there to that door. You, open it. All right, inside, both of you. Don't knock yourselves out trying to rush this door. It won't work. It's got an iron bolt on the outside there.
It's kind of you to warn us.
Yeah, I'm nice that way. So long, characters. Here goes nothing. See you in the funny papers.
It's a miracle we got out of that trap alive.
No miracle. A simple telephone call did the trick.
A telephone call? But
after I found that Juve had checked out of his hotel, I phoned Inspector Kelly at homicide. A squad of his men had the warehouse surrounded when we arrived.
Well, that was a bright idea, to say the least. I take it the inspector's men have our firebug friend well at hand.
No, Alec. As a matter of fact, let him slip through their fingers.
What?
Purposely. That's my special request. But he's being watched closely. I want him on the loose. He'll be of more help to us that way. The report of the detective who was assigned to trail our would-be slayer had one particular item of interest to me. Subject visited Nagel Art Galleries at 9 a.m. So Alec and I hurried over to the Nagel Galleries. The marble halls were busy with the chatter of critics, dilettantes, lovers of art for art's sake. We made our way through the crowd, taking in each painting in the exhibit. And then I saw it.
Oh, what's the matter? Why'd you stop?
Well, that painting hanging to our right. It's the passing over, the portrait of Betty Stark.
Then we certainly came to the right place, eh?
We certainly were right, and I expected to find the right answer to all my questions. I had Alec take the picture down, and we walked to the end of the main exhibit hall and stopped before the door where the gold letters spelled out Vera Nagel.
What do you mean by just walking in here? Who are you?
You're Vera Nagel.
I am. What do you want? Who are you?
My name is Saunders, Rex Saunders.
Saunders? You will leave immediately, or I shall have to have you forced out.
I have no intention of leaving, Miss Nagel, without getting what I came here for.
What do you mean?
a violent, ruthless killer.
This is an art gallery, not a rogues gallery, or aren't you aware of it?
Miss Nagel, I am very much aware of the exhibit you have on display outside. One work in particular. I believe it to be the cause of three murders, perhaps even a fourth.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
In that case, I'll let the portrait talk for itself. Alec, show Miss Nagel what I mean.
Right.
What are you doing with that painting? How did you get it?
I took the liberty of removing it from the wall outside. Now, Miss Nagel, in your own expert way, you will please tell me the history of this painting.
You're insistent, aren't you, Mr. Saunders?
It is a habit of long-standing.
Well, it might interest you to know that I am equally determined.
At the moment, I can't see how you can afford to be.
Then in that case, suppose you look a little closer.
Oh.
And I know how to use this gun, in my own expert way.
Taking up where your man left off at the warehouse last night.
That's right. I'll finish what Sid left undone. I know how to use this gun, Mr. Saunders, in my own expert way.
Taking up where your man left off at the warehouse last night.
That's right. I'll finish what Sid left undone.
I imagine gunshots would raise quite a racket among your clients outside.
I wouldn't think of disturbing my clients. This room is soundproof.
Oh, the lady thinks of everything, Alec.
Unfortunately.
In my business, you have to.
And I assume, Miss Nagel, that murder is a good part of your business.
When necessary. And at a time like this, it is most necessary.
You are all right, Mr. Saunders?
I'm all right, Jouvet.
Jouvet?
I was in time. It is good, n'est-ce pas?
I suppose it's none of my business, but how did he get here?
I received Mr. Saunders' telegram to go to Chicago and meet him there.
You sent Jouvet a wire?
No, Alec. That wire must have been the sequel to the bogus phone call I received from Jouvet.
Oui. You are not in Chicago, Mr. Saunders. So, I return.
And we almost forgot. What about Miss Nagel there on the floor?
Oh, I only shoot her in shoulder. She will be all right. She's the one for whom you search?
She and an accomplice. We'll get him in due time.
Then they were responsible for the three murders?
All three of them.
But I still don't see a motive.
Well, it's quite simple. Betty Stark posed for this picture. From what she told me, I can judge that the acid was thrown in her face as a means of keeping her quiet. Well, that wasn't satisfactory, so she was killed by the hit-and-run car.
What about Philip Darcy?
Well, the artist was murdered to keep him quiet, too.
And Courtney, the dealer, for the same reason?
Yes, I'm sure for the same reason.
But why was their silence placed at such a high premium?
Well, I'll get to that in a moment, Alec. Jouvet.
We miss you.
There's still the matter of your tracking down the Renoir.
Oh, I will find the gate.
Well, you haven't far to look now.
You have for me a lead, monsieur?
I have something even better than that. This bottle. Now, watch this, Jouvet.
Uh-huh.
This should be of special interest to you. I rubbed some of the liquid from this bottle over a portion of the portrait, like this.
Monsieur, what are you doing?
There. Look, Jouvet.
Monsieur. I cannot believe what I see. It cannot be.
It is, Jouvet. It is your Renoir.
Yes, it was hidden beneath the portrait of Betty Stark.
Yes, Alec. And that's the answer to all of our questions. Darcy superimposed Betty Stark's picture over the French master.
But why?
Well, to make sure that the stolen Renoir was concealed until a safe and profitable sale was arranged.
And the murders were committed to make sure the secret was kept.
Exactly.
Renoir. Just look at that, monsieur. Just look at that.
Yes, Jouvet, it's a great work of art. You know, it brings another thought to my mind.
What's that, Rex?
I just happen to think of the picture the state is going to paint for Vera Nagel and her accomplice. It won't be pretty, but it's comforting to know that justice works with hard and bold strokes.
RCA Victor and its dealers from coast to coast have brought you the private files of Rex Saunders.
Music.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.